Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, I'm joined by two Salesforce CTAs, Johan Furman and Jakub Stefaniak. Through the episode, we discuss both of their backgrounds and hear how they have both very different backgrounds, but have both gone on to achieve their goals of becoming Salesforce CTAs. Jakub is from more of a technical background, whereas Johan would class himself as from more of a clicks background, more of a Salesforce admin background, but both have relatively recently gone on to become Salesforce CTAs, and they share their journey and why they approached it in certain ways, and what their advice to other people that are looking to go down the Salesforce CTA path would be. Really interesting episode. Really hope you enjoy it. And if you do, please do subscribe for future episodes that are coming through. Johan, Jakub, thank you very much for joining us. We're all in different parts of the world, which is fun.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for having us. This was a long dream of mine. I spent many, many hours with your podcasts.
Oh, well, we're just glad to have you here, and the honor is truly all ours. So, yeah, like we've got a really interesting, quite fluid discussion today, because I wanted to have you both on the podcast because you're both CTAs, but I think what is most interesting is obviously you know each other really well. You helped each other along the journey, but you're also from very different backgrounds. And I think that's a really important thing to understand for a lot of people in the industry, is it's not one size fits all. So, Jakub, let's start with you. If you could just kind of give a little bit of background about your background and what you did before Salesforce and how you ended up in Salesforce and what your route into the market was.
Sure. So I've got a master's degree in computer science. In IT industry, I'm working since around 8 years. I started my career as software developer, firstly in Java, then in C#. I was mostly working in gaming industry. And then I one day decided that I'm wasting too much time on going to office, traveling by car and so on. So I started looking for something which supports remote work. And somehow I found Salesforce. I checked that generally salaries are pretty okay comparing to what you can have working on site in Poland. I started, that time was not taken. So I started my preparations on Pluralsight. And after a few months, I just found a nice company from Poland, Craftware, that I sent my CV, and here I am 5 days or 6 years later.
So you're Camp Code, right? You're the developer of the two of you. And Johan, you're not Camp Code, you're Camp Click. So what's your kind of journey into the Salesforce world look like?
For a couple of years, I have been working as a product manager for different software as a service companies here in Berlin for different startups. And so my job was basically write tickets. Can you please add this button up here, add a field on the layout? And at one point, I discovered Salesforce, and I discovered I can do that myself. I don't have to write a ticket anymore. And within a couple of days, I was hooked, and I put in my resignation and looked for my first consultancy gig.
And so you it was love at first sight with Salesforce, truly.
Absolutely. It was a couple of weeks, and within, I think, 2 or 3 months, I got my first certification, my second, and from there on, it was just straight sailing.
Sure. So you've both relatively recently, Johan really recently, but both relatively recently gone through the CTA path. So you're proof that you can be a coder and you can be a clicker or a more functional person and become a CTA. But is there an optimal route? Do you think developers have a more, I guess, likely path to CTA, or a functional consultant or admin or someone from the functional side? Is that a more likely or optimal route?
I would say, coming back, Jakub has a very business mind for somebody who is a developer. So I think it's easier for somebody who is business-minded, not even click, but business itself, to become a CTA than somebody who is purely technical. I think the technical and the CTA is kind of misleading. It's very business-focused. You always have to add business value by using technology. This is my take. I think a functional consultant has it way easier than a developer.
And do you agree, Jakub?
I would say that the most important part is to make a fair adjustment. What is your current knowledge and your current skill set at the beginning of the preparation? And when you know your gaps, then you can plan how to solve them. And in my case, like, I didn't spend literally no time on going back to Apex-related topic, nor about governance and or DevOps, because Currently, I'm working as a manager, and generally, I'm doing all these three areas on my daily basis. But I had spent lots of time on this declarative part of Salesforce to just refresh my mind how it really works. And I'm assuming that if you are a very good consultant, or to be more specific, pre-sales consultant, then doing this kind of the stuff, which at the end you have during your review board, is your daily job. So then, of course, your preparation can be much easier and shorter. But it's not like, you know, one way is better than another. Depends what is your overall background. Are you, for example, familiar with public speaking? Or do you have a master's degree in business or computer science or something else? All these pieces build your starting position. And based on this, you have just find your own path how to prepare for the end goal.
Sure. And your story is interesting in that a lot of your time has been spent building AppExchange products. In terms of actually the core platform of Salesforce, that was probably not something that you'd spent a huge amount of time working on, like sales and service. Is that fair?
So when I started working with Salesforce, during my first job, I was working for a consulting company. And that time I had exposure on both Sales Cloud and Service Cloud. But then for the last 5 years, I was building only stuff on the AppExchange, which from one hand, I'm finding super useful because I really understand how Salesforce works. And especially when you, like at this moment, we have 150 production orgs, which we are maintaining. So from this situation, I really have to understand how Salesforce works and what is the reason of many different known issues or bugs, because waiting for Salesforce support usually take weeks. And if I'm able to find the root cause myself, then I'm able to find workaround myself. So it helps a lot with understanding these nitty-gritty details. But from the other, as you said, exposure on Sales Cloud and Service Cloud is definitely beneficial because you should expect during your review board that scenario is not going to be something fully custom. It's going to be probably about these two standard clouds.
Sure. And Johan, when we have spoken in the past, you've said that, you know, you don't typically fit the mold of what someone expects to go on to become a CTA. And like people had told you in the past that, you know, they were shocked you were going down that route. And you said that a lot of your time was spent doing admin tasks, right? Not architecture. So where did you get the confidence from, and why was CTA a goal for you?
You're right. I was an architect, an admin for most of my time, and only the last 1 or 2 years of my career I spent as an, I think you would call it a functional architect today, or a Salesforce architect in some way. I got the confidence. I want to be honest, a friend of mine became architect, and we started out our career together, and I was like, oh, I can do that as well. Then the confidence I got, honestly, from Gemma a lot. Ladies Be Architect helped me a lot, and the Trailhead. I think talks from Gemma gave me the confidence that everybody can do it and I can also do it. And you are right about the admin path. I continuously studied and learned, and not only Salesforce Trailhead, but I went to Java architecture meetings. I went to the Dreamforce and listened to every single architect presentation. So I had to build this part myself. I interviewed a lot of CTOs before I started my preparation. How do CTOs outside of Salesforce think? Because Salesforce architecture is not fundamentally different than any other software architecture. We have the same problems.
Yeah, it's interesting. So why, apart from the fact that your friend went down the architecture path, like what was so important to you about being a CTA? Like why was that such a big goal?
This is a good question. There's, I think, many different reasons. First of all, I like learning. This is just something I like doing. And the CTA is a clear path, and there's a clear goal you can achieve. It's a long-term goal. So this is something you can work towards. Other people say, I want to run a marathon, and the CTA is kind of similar. The second is, I want to have the flexibility to choose my own jobs, to choose my own work. And third, I want to build complex stuff, not complex for the sake of complexity, but I want to have challenging tasks. At some point, adopting email templates becomes actually boring.
And what about yourself, Jakub? Why was it such a big goal for you?
So the first topic which comes now to my mind is that I will say exactly the same. I like to learn new things and I like to study. And for my entire life, it's not only about software development. I like to study foreign languages, read books about new topics and so on. And the CTA path is really nice because you have like this milestones with designer certificates. It's related to your daily job. So like it's not something useless. Even when I was not planning yet going for the CTA board, studying for this design domain certificates were very nice because I felt, okay, aha, there is this aha moment and I know how something works or how to do something better. And sure, of course, you know, being in the industry for so many years, build some natural pressure that if you want to be an expert and be recognized as the expert, the CTA somehow is promoted by Salesforce as the natural next step, that if you feel that you are one of the best, you should aim for it sooner or later.
Sure. So having come from such different backgrounds, can anyone be a CTA?
I would say that not anyone, but of course it's something that you can put lots of time on your preparation, because at the end it's just the exam. And if you understand how this exam works, you can prepare for it. So definitely preparations help a lot. From the other hand, I feel that it's somehow an IQ test, because you have 10 pages which you have to read, and the most critical part, you have to understand them. And if you are, for example, not able to think in an analytical way fast enough, you won't be able to probably solve it never ever, because just you have some time slot and you have to be able to solve some kind of the game / puzzle during this time slot.
I have a feeling there's going to be a disagreement here.
Yeah, I agree there. It's a lot like a puzzle. Maybe I was a gamer in the past. I like strategy games. And this is, the CTA is kind of similar there. Like Jakob is right. It's kind of a puzzle. I disagree. Jakob is very smart. I know that. For him, it's an IQ test. I'm not as smart. So I had to use more of, let's say, strategy and predefined solutions. So I think as long as you are motivated and as long as you want to achieve it, it's a really long journey. You have to be motivated from yourself. It's not something your boss can tell you to do. Unless, as soon as you do that and you put in enough effort, and of course you're kind of lucky that you have the right circumstances, definitely you can achieve that. It's achievable. I would say anybody who can be a good Salesforce admin can become CTA at some point.
Okay. And I think I've been reading Atomic Habits, and it talks about like the book, and it says about like the goal isn't the important thing. It's actually the plan that you put in place to achieve the goal, right? Because just having a goal doesn't mean you're going to get there, but if you put structure and plans in place. Now, you both kind of butted up, and as part of groups, you were involved in helping each other. But what did the preparation look like for each of you?
So, yeah, I really like the sentence that CTA generally is kind of journey. And if you will just have this goal that you want to be CTA, but without plan for this, you can plan to be CTA for 10 years and nothing happened. And in my case, it's very important for me to have some kind of the deadline and goal, because then I can settle up preparation. So one of the most stressful moments for me related to COVID situation was the fact that I was not sure when I will have my review board date, and it was extremely painful. But I hoped that, you know, I'm starting the Flow Republic coaching program at February, so I'm planning to go on the July or during the summer, and it was my time frame. And luckily at the beginning of my preparation I met Johan, and since that time we started to see each other every day at 7 a.m.
Yes, I agree with Jakob. I think at least I had a plan first to patch my gaps. This was the first speak on C-level was my first like think like an architect. So I literally watched every video which had architect in the title on YouTube, not only related to Salesforce. I interviewed a couple of CTOs, like what do a C-level person think like. So I met a lot of other architects from the Salesforce community which helped me out, just chit-chatting, just nerding out, I always call it, just for an hour. And from there on, we followed very closely the Flow Republic plan. I have to say, Sepp did a great job. You just do what Sepp tells you, like literally every day. And this is what we did. We did what Sepp told us.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? It's he's got the winning formula.
He got the winning formula. And don't be a hero. Do what Sepp tells you and do it everything. Don't skip nothing. There is no shortcut, unfortunately. So I think Jakob put in like 30 or 40 mock exams. Was it something like that?
Something like that, yeah. And, you know, I think it's good to point that Sepp's formula works if you work hard. Like, if you just think that you will send Sepp monies and he will send Sepp back for you, unfortunately, it's not so easy. And there are many people who are starting Flow Republic programs, and due to the other reasons, they cannot finish it in 6 months. So it's very important to make a fair adjustment how much you can put on this, because maybe for you it's better to plan, for example, 12 months or literally 2 years, as in some consulting companies when they have internal programs, because there's lots of work to do.
Sure. So what I find really interesting about both of your preparation, and if I speak to, like, I might speak to 20 people a week that tell me they want to be a CTA. And all of them, most of them will say, so I'm looking to work in consulting, or I want to find a big project. But your focus was that you were going to take on the responsibility yourself rather than leaving it to your employer, right? Because you engage with Flow Republic, but you did a study session every single morning at 7 a.m. Was that just weekdays?
No, yeah, and weekends we did mock exams.
So you spoke every single day for how long?
With Jakob, 6 months, and with the others from the group is still ongoing. It's a rolling group. New people come in ever since February, March. We have a WhatsApp group. We have a Slack channel. It became kind of my family in a way. It's weird. I talk to them more than to my partner. My partner's kind of jealous of them.
So, because you have this network now that you built, but you invested in that, and that was all part of your journey. But can you do this without having that network and without having the help around you and the support and guidance from others and peers and so on?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think it's not possible because you need to have at least one person who will listen how you are solving mocks and will give you a feedback. But the issue is that if you are practicing only with one person, you are very shortly starting to be reading in mind of your partner. And then you can prepare a good presentation for one guy, but at the end you have three totally unknown CTAs sitting next to you on doing your review board. So having, first of all, many different people and gathering feedback from many places is the only option to prepare for having the final exam with people which you never practiced before.
Sure.
I think it was somewhere in August, I felt really good. I felt, because I was solving solutions with Jakob, with the others, I felt really safe. And at some point, I had another study group and they completely killed me. They completely killed my solution out of the blue. And I realized I have a really weak point, which none of the others had. So it's very important. I think at the end, we have a network of 10 to 20 people. And coming back to Flow Republic, Flow Republic gives you three things. The feedback from Sepp or Doina or Yanis, which is very helpful, but only to a certain level, because also they have their gaps. You get the structure you have to follow. And the third one, you get access to a really huge network of people who are on the same journey, on the same trajectory. So I think we had 10 to 20 people at the end, which we have been in contact closely.
But the last thing, that you have more hypothetical scenarios to solve. And when you go to a HitX community, you have like, I don't remember, 6 or 8 mocks which are publicly available. And if in Flow Republic you have additional 6, it's increase your opportunity to prepare for the new mocks a lot. And generally, solving the same mock second and third time is super beneficial because then you can master it and polish the gaps. But having this nice feeling that you are first time reading the new mock and you have no idea what is it talking about is a very unique experience.
This episode of Talent Hub Talk is sponsored by our friends from Flow Republic. Flow Republic is a Salesforce architect academy that works with individuals and businesses to upskill and prepare Salesforce architects for the CTA review board. They also have a number of other offerings, including coaching and guiding on areas such as soft skills, consulting, and design training. Flow Republic are some of the brightest minds in the Salesforce ecosystem and have a proven track record of developing Salesforce professionals and helping architects to reach their goal of becoming a CTA. To find out more about the value they can add, please check out flowrepublic.com.
And we see, I've put a lot of value on certifications. I think if people get them in the right way and don't get dumps and are doing them for the right reasons, they're super, super valuable. But we also see that it's like just how many can I grab and like how many can I have on my LinkedIn profile? And I think people fall into that trap sometimes. What was your take on the certifications that you actually needed? Because you don't need them all, right, to be a CTA. You only need certain ones. So what about the ones that weren't on the pyramid? Were they in your focus or not at all?
Sales Cloud, Service Cloud, Admin, Advanced Admin, Dev 1 and Dev 2 definitely are must-haves. They are not on the pyramid. The optional ones, Community Cloud, and unfortunately, Mobile Publisher was discontinued, but this was also very helpful. So the core ones absolutely do all of them. It doesn't hurt to do Field Service Lightning or CPQ. It doesn't hurt because it's great products and they help you to understand the platform better, but they are not mandatory. So this is another one. Keep focus. If you want to achieve the CTA, of course, do side projects which interest you, like CPQ, for example, but you have to have like, I think 15 or 16 certs. This is the minimum. I would say don't skip the basic ones. you always learn something new.
Sure. So yeah, it's not about necessarily just getting the newest one. It's about keeping to the structure of having the foundations. And then if you're interested in CPQ, get it, but don't necessarily go out of your way. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. Jakub, you agree there?
I fully agree. And especially like, you know, from my perspective, if I never had a real project with Field Service or CPQ, going for a certificate with these domains for me a little bit is getting idea how this certificate should work. Because when I'm hiring somebody, I'm, for example, expecting that developers will have developer one and preferably developer two certificate. Because if somebody is working as developer from a few years, he should be able to pass the certificate easily. But if I never studied for CPQ, even if I will prepare for passing the certificate, what kind of the value is it going to bring? Like, you are studying especially for one exam, and then you are starting to forgetting this nitty-gritty things you never seen on your eyes very quickly. So for me, like, the idea of gathering so many certificates as you can, it's not the best possible direction in the market, let's say. But I strongly encourage people to pass certificates related to their real experience, because it's a very nice, it should not be difficult then. And it's a very nice example that they first care of their career, and they have exposure on all details related to this domain, because it's very easy, for example, to be Apex and Visual First developer, but never touch, I don't know, platform events or AWC or some other technologies, which doing preparations for the certifications, at least you have to read about. And it's super useful to know about things which you never used during your normal life.
Sure. I would disagree here to Jakub. I personally like to get certifications proactive before I touch a topic. Me personally. So I like to, for example, CPQ, this is actually on my bucket list. I would do it before I did my first project in order to have a better understanding of the tool before I start the project. This way I personally feel safer. Yes, Jakub is right. You forget the nitty gritty details, but the certificates also give you an opportunity to understand the concept and to understand the breadth of the solution. So if you get a project, you might only learn what you need for the next day, as many consultants do. This is something I don't feel comfortable with. I like to know beforehand.
I find it really interesting because everyone has different ideas, right? But certification means that you're certified that you know that product, right? So it's an interesting one to get that before you have the experience, because you're certifying that you have the knowledge.
Yeah,
you
might never have bought the product. Yeah, I do have the knowledge, and when I apply somewhere, I will absolutely be transparent. I have the Salesforce Marketing Cloud certification. I have no idea about Salesforce Marketing Cloud. I would never do a project there. But I have a basic understanding how it works, what a suppression list is, what a subscriber list is. And this also helps me also for the CTA again. It all falls into place.
Sure. So how do you then approach a certification if you don't have the domain experience? Like, if you've never worked on a CPQ project, how do you prepare for the CPQ certification?
First, I get the trail mix, of course, do the trailhead. As Salesforce tells, I read through the documentation. I build stuff myself, because almost always you can build stuff besides Marketing Cloud yourself. I play around. I toy around. I really want to be a master as much as possible. I watch videos on it, read blog posts. I would recommend really reading blogs. Every time I do a certification, I just enter CPQ and blog and read the first 10, 20 blog posts about it. And then I go for the certification, and I aim for 90 to 100% answers. If I do not, I don't pass certifications. I want to be the master for that, because as you say, I never had experience. So I want to be at least really good in the theoretical knowledge.
Sure. So I've never met anyone like you, Johan, who was all in on their CTA. Like you were truly all in, right? So I don't know how many people. I looked back through your LinkedIn profile the other day, and I saw the day that you announced you were leaving your job, which was like a year ago. But for anyone listening that doesn't know this, you left your job to prepare for the CTA full time. And you had, what, 8 months?
No, more. It's on 1st of December, I left my job. So it took me exactly 10 months. My calculation was 6 months. So I underestimated the effort, honestly. I underestimated the 2 months it took me to get settled into this routine of daily studying. Sure. It's a little bit like a job. If you start a new job, it takes a while until you get productive. The same is true for CTA preparation. Yes, I studied every day, Monday to Friday, like it would be my job.
So like 8 hours?
No, 4 to 6 days. No, I found no value in studying more than 4 to 6. Your brain just shuts down. I tried it for a few weeks. There was no value. about you, Jakob?
I would agree that this 4-6 hours is like moment when you feel that you are not accepting new information. And like for me, I am because I was working during my preparation, so it was not so easy to find so much time. So I was trying to additionally differentiate what exactly I'm doing during my studying time, because it's totally different level of difficulty when you are trying to solve a new mock and totally different when you are, for example, watching just a video on YouTube or something like that. So like I was trying to listen to podcasts when I was walking my dog. I was trying because I'm doing COVID, I was not going to the gym, so I was doing some physical exercises at my flat, and so I was just watching TV that time with some videos like Ladies Be Architects or something like that, because for just being a passive observer of the content, mixing it with the physical activities was okay. But then finding additionally time for doing literally like either preparations for the mock solution or checking something in Salesforce, it was much more difficult to practice every day and find time when you are working on the other projects all the time.
Yeah, because you're like you have a full-time job and then you've got a full-time study of cramming like 7 a.m. calls with this guy and then starting work. Like it's tough, right? And I think a lot of people underestimate how much time you have to spend on it alongside your job. It can't just be your job gets you there.
Yeah, and you know, I would say that the whole pandemic situation, from my perspective, was even a little bit lucky because I did say to my wife that, okay, honey, there is not going to be social life for the next half year. And in February, we went to the last, music event, to stuff like that. We think that for the next 6 months, anyway, we are probably not going to spend lots of time. Luckily, she's a doctor, she's doing her PhD, so she pushed her topics in the same half year a lot. But at the end, when in March we started to have a lockdown in Poland, we were prepared. We were already there since 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Coming back to the time effort, I think Jakob and I did a couple of interviews with other CTAs, and there is no shortcut. I think the minimum is 300 hours if you're a genius and have 10 years of experience. Most of the people do like 500 to 700 hours preparation. Jakob did something around 1,000 hours. I did around 1,400 hours, 1,600 hours preparation. There is no shortcut. Even if you cannot do it along the job, also be prepared. And my personal take is try to get 1 or 2 days off a week at least. You have to consistently spend time. And there's no way of spreading out these 1,000 hours over 2 or 3 years. This doesn't work. You have to do it in a short kind, maximum 12 months.
The scope of the exam generally is growing every year. And one of the challenges which I found that if you check the Salesforce site, you have just information what is in the scope on the very high level. And for example, if you ask me if field service or CPQ is in the scope of this exam, still my answer is I don't know. Nobody tell you that for sure you are not going to have questions about field service. So it means that if you don't want to take risk that you will spend lots of money and lots of time just to have to be unprepared at the end, you have to study all these new features. And when I'm comparing the scope of the CTA exam as it is today to, for example, 2017, I have a feeling that in 2017, you have literally half of these products, which now more or less I'm expecting that somebody can ask about during the Q&A session.
Sure. Yeah, it's crazy how things just continue to grow year on year and it shows no sign of slowing down. So Why did you take that time off? And because we've spoken before about, you know, you didn't want to have to do it a second time because, you know, and I think your theory is if you do it a second time, you have to study just as much the second time as you did the first, right?
The people we talked to and the people we studied with who did it the second time actually studied way, way more the second time than the first time. It's really expensive from a mental state of point of view, because when you go in the first time, you're fresh, you're kind of, yes, nervous, but I can do that. The second time, you already had this bad experience. Yes, you forget a lot of stuff. I mean, OAuth flows, I think I can remember them today. Jakob, can you still draw the asset token flow?
JWT for sure, but the asset token...
So you have to spend another week again to practice them. Data models, you have to know every little detail of fields, like coming back, field service lighting. I spent 1 week just drawing the field service lighting data model over and over and over again. I would have to do that again. So yes, I wanted to pass the first time. I mean, it doesn't mean that I was sure and that I had any idea if it's possible, but this was my goal. And I want to be honest, this 1 year taking off was also for me personally. I like to have these gap years in between. They give me the opportunity to grow personally, to pick up some hobbies. I learned cooking and baking a little bit. I did some sports, met some friends. It's also a benefit. This gave me the confidence that I have a shot at it. If I would do it while I work, and this is what we found with many people who study with us, the job is always more fun. The studying is really boring. It's many people tell us, oh, I can't make it on Friday for the mock exam or Saturday because I have this big go live coming up. Okay.
And it's a good point. Like, you know, always when you're thinking about your prioritize, your review board, if you really won't go for it, should be at the top. And if you have meantime a job when either the customer or your supervisor or somebody can ask you to work over the weekends and over the evenings, you are not going just to find time for this preparation. So it should be either your fair assessment that, okay, with this job, probably I'm not going to have a good environment for this kind of preparation. Or maybe you should speak with your supervisors that if it's your aim and their aim, they should do not expose you on this high-risk projects for the next few months.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's really important to be clear, whether that's your employer or your family, on, you know, this is my goal and therefore this is the sacrifices I'm going to have to make, and have everyone on board with that.
I disagree with everybody tells you have to sacrifice your family and your friends and your personal health. I disagree there. My assumption is, in order to have the best shot at the board, you have to be fit, like bodily fit. You have to do meditation. So I think Jakob and I, we never skipped on sport and we never skipped on meditation. There's no value. Because if you're not fit, you don't know study, it's a 7-hour exam altogether. At least for me, it was 6 to 7 hours. You have to be fit and you have to be happy. If your partner doesn't like you anymore, if you're fighting with your partner, if you don't see your kids for 2 years, what's the value of becoming a CTA? Now, your personal health, family and friends, and then the CTA, and then your job.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. So when you were, because you both did it remotely, both did the review. At the beginning of the session, can you say that you were really confident you were going to pass?
It's a very challenging question, because especially after some time, human mind like try to cheat yourself. So like now I think that I was, but I remember that day before my exam, I just took one day totally off of anything. I just went to the forest. I was walking, cooling down, and so on. And it's extremely high stress environment. Like, it's not comparable to any exam on studies, any work situation, or nothing like that. Because, you know, we are investing this at least half year of your life. You are sacrificing still lots of stuff. You are paying lots of stuff. And you know that if you will fail, you are going to wait maybe half a year, maybe another year for another date, because this queue is so long. You will pay again. You will have to again sacrifice everything. So this environment is extremely difficult. And I doubt if like you can be fully confident that it's going to be easy peasy the next day.
Yeah. And what about yourself, Jan?
I would even say if you're confident that you passed, you probably failed. If you don't find 30 mistakes immediately after you finished your review board, you didn't prepare enough. I was not sure that I failed, but the judges are there to they help you. Take me wrong. The judges are helpful and supportive, but they ask you as to find your weak points. They ask you until you really can't answer anymore.
Sure.
So there was so many things I was sure I made mistakes in, which some of them I did actually.
So then the moment it was over, was it just the biggest sigh of relief that you didn't have to chat to everyone else at 7 a.m. the next morning to do a study board, or did you miss that?
I think we kind of do it still a little bit. I missed that. The relief only came once I got the result. Because until then, I assumed I failed, kind of. Just statistically speaking, I think 90%, 95% fail. So just from a statistic point of view, I failed.
Sure. And Jakob?
Yeah, like after I was done with this topic, it was like surprising how much time do I have for everything. And still, like, you know, we are still with Johan active members of this community. Like, so I'm still doing mocks with other folks. I'm still doing these discussions about Salesforce, because I found that even if I am CTA, it's not like I'm end of learning new stuff. And always this kind of discussion can just give you opportunity to learn something new every day, which is super important if it's your area of expertise.
Sure. So why is giving back so important, and why should it be important to all CTAs?
I even started giving back during my preparation. I asked somebody else who also gives a lot back, why do you do it? And I agree there. The first is I just enjoy it. it's just a fun thing to do. I'm going to be honest, it's fun to interact with people. Second is, if I give back, I have to prepare my stuff better. So when I draw a data model about live message, which I didn't find online, so I drew my own, I posted on Twitter, and within seconds, I had the feedback, oh, you made a mistake there, there, and there, and there. So it helps me to polish my content. And the third thing is, you get, I got so much support throughout this journey. Everybody was always helpful. Like, you literally can write to random people on LinkedIn and ask, can we have a chat for an hour? And they help you out. And this is something I want to give back.
Sure. And for yourself, Jakub?
I've got the feeling that, you know, there are so many people who want to learn stuff in Salesforce, and the whole system in which people are supportive and they're sharing knowledge is so amazing. I'm comparing it to the world of medical doctors, because as I mentioned, my wife is a doctor, and the idea that they're paying so crazy amount of money for just access to some materials, it's so ridiculous. It's like 21st century. And if finally, like after so many months, I learn new stuff and I can help somebody, as we said at the beginning, you cannot prepare for this kind of the exam on your own. You always have to find some mentors, some colleagues, some study groups. So it's nice to be able to pay back to the community for what you get at the beginning. And I think it's a good moment to one more time say about Ladies Be Architects. Their content is amazing. Like, when I'm comparing it to time when I was starting Salesforce career, it was no Trailhead, no Ladies Be Architects like that. That time, thinking about CTA topic was like the black magic. You have no idea what is behind this. And nowadays, you're okay. You have to work on preparation, but you at least know where to start and how to do everything.
Sure.
I think this journey Jakub and I went, this coming from this not consulting, not PwC, Deloitte, Capgemini background, is only possible because of the community. Maybe this is where the old saying of you have to work on big projects come from. Maybe we are the first generation of, let's say, Ladies Be Architects CTAs.
So yeah, like, yeah, that's such a good way of looking at it, actually. Like, and that's been a common theme, is that people will say, oh, you have to work for a big brand. But maybe that is changing now. And maybe the likes of, as you say, Ladies Be Architect, Flu Republic, people like yourselves with the architecture, the groups that you've been running and been involved in, like, there's so much now for everyone out there. It's the whole ecosystem is a different place.
Absolutely. Salesforce becomes so much transparent without the domain certifications. This, they bridge the gap. The domain certifications are a great way of preparing. Yes, you have to put on a lot of work on top of the domain certifications. They give you the foundation.
Sure. So just to sign off, Jakub, if you could give one piece of advice to an aspiring architect, what would it be?
One piece of advice will be to have a goals which are achievable for you. And if you are thinking that you can become a CTA, try to make a plan, try to assess your gaps, find study groups, and just go for it. Because if you are dedicated enough, and you don't have to think that, you know, if you are not working for big companies, it's now not possible. If you are not working for the Sales Cloud and Service Cloud projects, because with Johan, we are a great example that, as you said, if you spend enough time and you have enough, not experience, but enough motivation, then everything is achievable nowadays.
Sure. Johan?
Have fun. It's a fun journey. You meet a lot of fun people. We didn't meet at 7 o'clock in the morning because it was dreadful, but it was always fun. Enjoy learning.
Sure. I said that would be the last question, but I have one more for each of you. What does the future hold now? Because you've both achieved a goal that you set out for and sacrificed in terms of long hours. And yeah, you enjoyed it, but it's a lot of investment of time and money. And so what's the goal now? Like, where do you go from here?
I have a feeling that in the world of Salesforce certificates, there is one big gap. Because when I was passing platform developer to some time ago, like 4 years ago, it was very nice because you have a programming assignment, somebody make your code review, and it was super useful. And nowadays, there is nothing like that. And when I'm thinking about hiring Salesforce developers, I see it as a huge gap. So I started to working on the side project for my internal hiring process for some kind of the assignments. And when I'm speaking with people, I see it much, much more as a niche in the market, when maybe one day I will decide to either publish this content or starting some kind of the service to help other people hire developers. Because as a hiring manager, I see that it is like a niche which somebody have to take.
Sure.
And I'm looking forward to apply all the knowledge I got over the last year to help big companies achieve their goals with Salesforce implementations. I plan on becoming a freelancer for the next couple of years to learn the ins and outs, not only for the review board, but also on practical projects.
Sure. Nice. Well, look, I wish you both every success in the future, and I'm excited to see how everything pans out from your product idea to contracting. And if anyone does want to reach out and ask you, pick your brains, which I'm sure they will, and I'm sure you'll be happy to help, what's the best platform to reach out to you both?
For me, definitely it's LinkedIn. I'm not a good WhatsApp user. I'm not Twitter user at all. So LinkedIn probably is the only option, as long as you don't want to be my Facebook friend, which can be sometimes creepy if we don't know each other.
I agree here. Twitter is for fun and LinkedIn is for professional.
Sure. Okay, nice. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for giving back and spending some time chatting this through with me. I really appreciate it. And I think there's a lot of value in there for everyone. So thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.